Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hey, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, on which particular part of the motorway network you're driving right now. Welcome to the Botcast, Nigel here. And I've got with me today, I'm honoured, privileged, nay humbled, to have with me two stalwarts, loyal servants of the Entrepreneur Circle. Michelle Squire is with me.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, Michelle. And, oh my, we got an interruption.
Good morning, Mr. Bottrell.
Matt the butler has just arrived with a cup of tea. Obviously, when you put things down on the table, Matt, it really makes a big loud noise on the podcast recording.
I'd make you all a cup of tea if I could.
Well, did you know that's very good of you? So this is, oh, that's a loud bang. So a podcast cup of tea from Matt the butler.
Absolutely.
Any words of wisdom, Matt, for our members who are, right now as they're listening to this, there's only three people listen, but they're all driving.
I would just say, pay attention, but smile and drive.
Smile and drive. Profound words from Matt the butler.
Thank you very much.
To kick off this month's podcast. There we go. Lesson to self. Get a cup of tea on desk before starting the record. As well as Michelle with me today, looking somewhat aghast. Bringing a degree of professionalism to the podcast today.
Definitely.
Cameron, good morning.
Good morning.
And so we've got quite a full agenda of stuff to get through, Michelle, today. Those of you who are not aware, Michelle... Been part of my gang for a long time now, mate, shouldn't it?
I think it might be 12 years.
12 years, yeah. Goodness me. And most of that time running the best of business. But latterly, in recent years, heading up the programme within Entrepreneurs Circle. And I know you were very keen that on the agenda for this month, we were talking about kind of productivity and accountability.
Absolutely.
And let's just go here then, because you're much more. I'm a kind of morning person. I mean, I'm at my best in the morning. So we live slightly parallel lives, you and I, don't we?
We
because
do.
Because you kind of come alive in the evening, is that right?
I've also been known as a vampire. Yes, that is true.
Okay.
I work better when I have quiet time around me, when nobody's distracting me. And in what can be quite a lively office, often my big tasks are done when everybody's gone home. So my productive time really is between 6 and 8 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we are the opposites in our time there.
But one of the, almost exactly opposite, because actually my best time for, like, if I've got important work I need to do, especially if I need to be creative or I need to write, then actually between 6 and 8 in the morning is actually my best time. So we are
it's, you, like, do the morning shift, I do the evening
it's
shift.
Like I am Sydney to your London. We're at opposite sides of the planet. But this whole issue about because as entrepreneurs there's always so much to do. What was the song in The Lion King, Cameron? You've been a Disney fiend, you would know this song.
Elton John.
Yes, and the words are...
There is more to see than can ever be seen. More to do than can ever be done.
Oh.
I think you are lost here, Cameron. You need to be on the West End.
Just for a moment. I was... Okay. Yeah, there is more through than can ever be done.
Yes.
So getting stuff done that matters is one of our biggest challenges.
Absolutely.
As business owners. And in truth, in terms of where you're going to end up 6 months, 9 months, 9 years from now, the reality of it is, as a business owner, we've all taken on board that the responsibility for our future is ours, and our future will be defined by the extent to which we're able to execute and get things done. And I know in the programme, this is really one of the most significant benefits for people. And although interestingly, it's not why most people join the program, but it is one of the biggest benefits they get once they've been in the program.
Oh.
Is because their metabolic rate in terms of getting stuff done and the impact on their business of executing and implementing more things kind of markedly goes up.
So for example, we've got a get it done day today for one of our groups, and the whole purpose of the get it done day is to give them a task which we've talked about before and we may talk about in a short while, which is all around they ask you answer.
Okay.
And we are going to get them to become motivated in becoming the expert of their thing. And we actually have a very practical exercise in getting them to think about all of the questions that they get asked on a regular basis. And there's 30 questions that we encourage them to get down, and they write the answers out while they're here. Yeah. We even get them to record them on using the video suite if they want to too.
They ask you answer is, just backtrack for anyone wondering what on earth we're talking about here. They ask you answer is the title of a book that was published last year by a chap called Marcus Sheridan. And Sheridan is a relatively young guy, in his 30s still now, who for the last 15 years has been running with a friend of his a swimming pool business based in Virginia on the east coast of the US. And the story starts when the recession hit, kind of almost 10 years ago now, in 2008. The floor fell out of the swimming pool market. If you're going to cut back on spending, it's really easy to not buy that swimming pool. And they were faced with some real challenges, almost lost the business. But the little device that had a huge impact on his business was he sat down, and again, there's always a danger when you try and summarise a book in the case of a couple of minutes, you diminish it, and that's probably what I'm doing right now. But he answers the questions openly and honestly that people are asking him. So when he's out on these, making his sales presentations, doing his site surveys, he pays attention to the questions that people ask. And they're not just about handling objections, as it were, although some of them are. It's about all aspects of, in his case, the swimming pool business, and what pool should I, how do I clean it, what do I look after, what's the maintenance, which will last longer. And when you start to brainstorm the questions that your customers have about your business, and the trick for this is to get, you have to get out of your head and into the customer's head. That's the really key thing, because the question, because you're too well informed. And one of the most useful things to stimulate the questions here is literally just to try and capture them from conversations that you have with real customers. The second best way is to brainstorm it with your team, or as you're doing today, with
a group of people,
other people who are not, you know, who are coming at it from a somewhat detached perspective. And when you get the bunch of questions, and as you say, 30, I mean, usually 30 questions comes out
really, really quickly, which is why it's 30.
Yes.
And people love it. And they have the opportunity to really get deep down into their customers' minds.
And then the trick then is to then answer the questions in a way that is helpful and educational. So it's not salesy. You become like a teacher. And the main thread of the book, and some people have missed this, but the main thread of the book is this suggestion, and it's backed up by the story that Sheridan tells, is that when you become passionate about educating your potential customers, that has a profound impact on their propensity to buy from you. And that's the thrust of it. Yeah. And what you're doing today, because the people will look at that, oh, that's a really good idea. That people tend to get the concept fairly straightforward. The book is on Audible. I know a lot of people like to listen to books when they're easy. Oops, sorry, dropped my pen there. Just do it again. That's a loud pen. They'll prefer to listen to books rather than read them. And although it's an easy book to digest. It's a 3 or 4 hour read, in truth, is this book. But then they get stuck in actually doing it. Oh, I'd love to do that. I'd love to get it done. And I think it's great what you're doing today. So what was the process today? You've got a bunch of people in, kind of 20 people in the program group today. How will it run?
Effectively, we will bring them together, have a quick catch-up. It's the first time we've seen them in the new year, so it's important we understand where they're at coming into 2018. And then essentially what we'll do is we'll go into a little bit of the theory behind the book, similar to what you've done, but we'll explain how we need to get them into the minds of their customer. And for some of them, that's the hardest battle, putting themselves in their shoes.
Yeah.
We talk through how they now need to become the educator, the teacher of their thing. And we literally give them 90 minutes, a block of time, once we've gone through the how, and then they do it. And they do it in quiet zones. We're there to critique them, because some people have already done this. But yep. Interestingly, in one of our last groups, a gentleman had, and then I critiqued his questions and indeed his answers, and he'd not quite done it the way that you've just described.
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very hands-on. But people leave here feeling like they've got something done. And most importantly, they've put themselves as the expert for the first time in maybe a very long time.
Yeah, because it is, and if you look at so many websites, the website content is, you set out broadly kind of what you do, but the websites don't answer the questions, the real questions that potential customers have. And that's what this is all about, because this content, when you've got it, sits on your website in a knowledge center or a learning center, and it is a series of questions. And I think it's worthwhile just articulating briefly, Cameron, how we created the knowledge center for Lead Cycle, which we did in November, having decided to launch this business. And we were keen to put into practice what we preach and what we talk about in terms of they ask, you answer. And so Cameron and I pulled a bunch, there were four or five of us, went upstairs into one of the training rooms that was not being used that day. And we brainstormed the questions exactly as you've outlined, Michelle. And we came up with, I think interestingly, ours was 30 questions really quickly in like 15 minutes. And this was on like a Monday. And on the Wednesday of that week was the day of the Steve Redgrave Masterclass.
Also known as Sir Steve.
Sir Steve. Well,
to his friends, I mean, it's Steve.
He said, Nige, call me Steve. Steve. So that was happening on the Wednesday. So we were obviously, I was busy at that event with Steve. And but what I did, I teed up Rob, our video guy, who has, have you seen Rob's job title, Cameron? Have you seen how he signs off his emails?
Yeah.
See, I don't know whether this is an issue or not, really, but I really don't care. I say don't care, not completely don't care, but I'm very relaxed about whatever job titles my guys want to have.
Yeah.
Because I don't really mind, as long as they do the work, call themselves what they like. Someone did say to me once, can I be vice president? I said, yeah. I said, yes, you can. That job carries a salary of £5,000 a year. But Rob has called himself, he says, Rob Cimento, Doctor of Videology. Well, of all the people, listen, just to be clear, he's very good on video.
I'm very creative, clearly.
But
very
he's
creative.
Never, ever going to become a doctor. I mean, anyway, I said to the doctor of videology, I said, Doctor, can you get yourself, as soon as we finished, Redgrave's finished talking, in the Q&A, while we're doing the kind of photo shoot thing, can you get yourself back to the office, set the studio up, because I'm coming in to record some questions. And that was fine. And I was, the night before, explained to Sue that we had a regular event, etc. And me and Steve were getting it on. And she said, oh, that's good. What time will you be finished? So, well, it finished about 4. Then I'm going back to record some videos. So I said, but don't forget about Tabitha's play, will you? Well, of course, I had forgotten about Tabitha's play. So my daughter, who's doing her A-level, she's a drama student now, and she was in a play. So I had to leave at 6 o'clock. So, long story, we got back from the Redgrave. I got back in, put part of my car just as the 4 o'clock news started. So I had 2 hours and we had 30 questions. And you remember this because you were both part of this. Mm. So we went upstairs with the doctor and into his surgery, and he got the green screen out. And we sat down and I ended up doing most of the filming because I guess I'm a bit more experienced on that side of things. But basically, we had looked at every question.
Yep.
We had like a 30-second, what are the key points? Mm-hmm. And I then just answered that question to camera. And you can do the same thing because you know all your stuff. So once you've brainstormed the questions and got the questions right, the answering bit's the easy bit. And it's a lot easier, I don't care who you are, it is a lot easier to talk the answers than it is to write them down. None of us have got fingers that work quicker than our mouths. And so the clock was on, so I had 2 hours. And we got all 30 questions answered before. And I scooted down the stairs and it was about 6:03 when I jumped in my car. And that was one of the most productive 2 hours that I've had. And it happened between 4 and 6, not my prime time of the day, Mish. But we got those questions answered.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that stops people getting things done because, and having there on the video was important. What we then did, I think, Cam, you sent those files as soon as the doctor I'd kind of got them off the memory card. You ping them off to Rev overnight. Mm-hmm. So each of the questions as a separate file was typed up. Now, Rev.com is a really smart tool to use when it comes to producing answers for They Ask You Answer.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also a fabulous tool to use if you're writing any copy in any form. Yeah. And one of those tools that's completely overlooked, I know we bang on about it, but if you have to write a brochure or you have to write some content for your website or you want to do They Ask You Answer, it is such an easy tool to use and one that we've embraced and, you know, cut so much time that we were spending, whether it was writing articles or indeed putting things
the answers here. So look, just to complete this little story, we'll come back to that. So we fired the content off to Rev. Rob did the videos. We put a little graphic at the front of it. And long story, by the Friday night, having brainstormed the questions on the Monday, which took 20 minutes, having then done nothing else until that 2 hours in the studio on the Wednesday evening. And then Rob just had to slice the things and put a front and end on them. Easy job to do. If you don't have your own doctor of videology, then it's an easy job to put up onto Upwork. There were people that will just trim video and put a front and end on for very little money. And then we put on the web pages and the transcripts had come back. What we did do with the transcripts of my answers, I pinged them to a copy editor who I hired on Upwork over the weekend, $150. She did all 30 questions. And just because sometimes how you speak isn't quite exactly how you'd write. Mm. That last sentence, probably a good example. kind of sounded okay when you're listening to it, but if you're reading it, it looks a bit weird. A copy editor just sorts that out. And that sheet cost me $150. The transcript Rev, you pay $1 per minute. And I think on average, my answers were somewhere between 2 and 3 minutes. So let's say 2.5 minutes. I pay $1 per minute with Rev. So it was costing me $2.50. That's less than £2 for each question. So 30 questions, less than £60 on the Rev, plus the £100 for my copy editor. So £160 there, plus probably another £100 to get a video guy to top and tail them for you. So for a couple of £100 and 2 hours, you could have a set of questions. And if you go to leadcycle.co.uk, important point this, please don't go to leadcycle.com. No, I'm deadly serious. Okay, whatever you do, do not go to leadcycle.com. If you go to leadcycle.com, I am not responsible for what you think. It's not my website. I do not own leadcycle.com. It has got nothing to do with me. Okay, do not go to leadcycle.com. Go instead to leadcycle.co.uk. That is
.co.uk.
What is the address, Cameron?
I can't believe you've done this.
What's the address?
Leadcycle.co.uk.
Okay, it's a little Easter egg for listeners to the podcast. There is a story behind it. And when we formed Leadcycle, the web address leadcycle.com was available for sale. There was a holding page up, but they wanted £20,000. Which I wasn't prepared to buy. So we can run this off leadcycle.co.uk. We are a UK business. We are targeting UK businesses. Leadcycle.co.uk. That is the right website for us. We will not use the .com. We will not spend our money with these charlatans. And unfortunately, on the 10th of January this year, leadcycle.com did go live. Don't go to leadcycle.com. Okay. Where was that?
I think the important point that we need to talk about in terms of knowledge centres and They Ask You Answer is actually what that does for you, not just in terms of informing prospects and even current customers, but in terms of actually getting people to your website.
Yes.
This is actually remarkable because obviously in the book...
You sound like David Coleman then.
I don't know who that is.
Do you know what you're talking about? Okay. David, no, I'm not going to tell you, okay? It's the youth of today. Quite remarkable. Cameron, carry on.
But, for example, in the book, They Ask You Answer, he talks about how, his web traffic to his website just goes crazy once he starts putting these questions up because he's answering the questions that people are searching for. And so in terms of his SEO and his Google rankings, this does wonders for him. And I was a bit dubious, to be honest with you, about our own knowledge center, but actually when me and Joe pulled off the analytics, the knowledge center is the most visited
part
of our website, and actually a very big chunk of our traffic is actually coming from organic searches and the questions that we're answering.
I think Monty just made an appearance on the podcast then.
and I think beyond that, if people are coming to your website because you provide them with the information that they require, they see you and deem you as the authority and the expert of your thing, they will then want to do the next step, which ultimately is what it's all about.
Absolutely.
So back to your point, Nige, about what it cost you and the time that you spent. Actually, for 2 hours work and a few hundred quid, you could turn this into business for yourself.
Because you get positioning.
Yeah.
That's what it does. You get confidence and trust. Yeah. And again, what I would also say, don't embark on it. Get the book. We've done our best here to kind of summarise, but there is a danger, and we do diminish the substance of what Sheridan talks about in the book by trying to cover it off in a few minutes. So the book is called They Ask, You Answer. I'm grateful to Phil Coleman, an Inner Circle member who runs a company called Barlow Blinds, which is 125 years old this year. It's Barlow Blinds, and Phil's been there since day one. And it was Phil that introduced me to that book last summer, and I'm very glad that he did. We've talked a lot about it through Mastermind Inner Circle and through the program and in fact we covered it off at a national event last year as well. So Marcus Sheridan is the author. My dog is going somewhat mental over there. We need to go and investigate that. So that's part of what you're going to. That's an interesting insight into what happens on the program. Get It Done days, because there'll be people filming answers today. There'll be people using Rev, which we mentioned Rev.com earlier there. If you haven't got rev.com on your phone, I would urge you to get it. It is an app. The app is a free download. You need to set up an account. It doesn't cost you any money to set up the account, but you need to register and put a credit card on file with them. But then what you can do is you just open the app up, hit the red button, and it records in the app. You can just record yourself talking. It's how I write all my circular articles. I get the first draft of all my sales letters, because I'll just make all my notes on big sheets of paper, sit them out on my desk, and then I will just talk it out. And what I will find, their service level says that they get the files back to you within 24 hours.
What I
find is if your recording is less than 10 minutes, then it usually comes back in about 24 minutes. It comes back ever so quickly. And what it does, it gets you to a credible, usable first draft. It's very rare that something I dictate or talk into Rev comes back and gets pushed out without some kind of editing. But the time it saves me is massive, because I can write a first draft in 5, 6, 10 minutes, go off and do something else. The file comes back, I've had a look at it, another half hour, and I've finished a really nice quality piece. And it is key. It's an absolute critical part of my kind of productivity toolbox, because I cannot, there's no way I would be able to produce the volume of content that I produce if I was having to type it all out. It just wouldn't work. And the same would be true for you. And again, people get inhibited about this. Oh, I can't speak. You're only talking to yourself. There's no one else listens to it. Well, I guess there's a lady somewhere in the Philippines who's bashing it out, or wherever it may be, or America, because they have staff all over the world do rev.com. And but the stuff comes back, and it is usually kind of bang on.
Just one other tip to add in there.
Oh, a tip.
I know.
A tip
this time of the morning. AnswerThePublic.com is a fabulous little website which we are also encouraging people to use. Now, there's a risk here that people go on there. This is definitely a .com, and you won't find anything on here that you shouldn't see. But what AnswerThePublic.com does, it gives you keywords, questions that people are asking generally across the internet about your particular topic or subject, which is fascinating. It's a very useful tool in light of They Ask, You Answer as an exercise, but also very, very useful if you are putting any copy together about your particular subject or business sector. So that's a useful one for people to go and have a look at too.
So what else then around getting more stuff done then?
Yep.
Mission, productivity.
So typically, for yesterday, for example, I had 2 one-to-ones with our program members, and the second one was very interesting because they'd requested it.
Yeah. And just to be clear, Michelle has more than 2 program members.
I do. Just had,
there were only 2 one-to-ones yesterday.
The interesting thing about those one-to-ones is that they are now scheduled for every 2 weeks. I have one-to-ones with those 2 members.
Oh, crikey!
Because They know that without that check-in point, they struggle to get stuff done. They need to have somebody that they are accountable to. Mm. And the second gentleman that I had the one-to-one with said to me, I need you to keep me in check, Michelle. Now, that was music to my ears because I love nothing better than doing that. And interestingly, whilst we smile it's almost, slightly jokey, I understand completely why he said that, because for that person in particular, he has had three things on his to-do list, which are really fundamental, big things that will help him grow, get new business, and indeed separate himself from anybody else. They've been on his list for probably the last 6 months, and we've encouraged him and we've motivated, but he has specifically said, I need to commit myself to getting these things done, and I need you to help me do that. Yeah. And yesterday, after our call, he made a list of everything that he needed to get done in that week to help him markedly towards his goals. Yeah. And that's what we're doing every week.
So it is like, good news, you're your own boss.
Yeah.
Bad news, you're your own boss.
Yeah.
Because as entrepreneurs, there is no one holding our feet to the fire. We
all need it.
And that is absolutely true. To some extent or another, we do. And it is one of the main benefits of being part of any kind of coaching group, and certainly within EC, through Mastermind and Inner Circle and through the programme, it is one of the biggest areas where people do kind of get stuff done. Well, I first discovered this, or became aware of this a long time ago now, when I had joined a Mastermind group based out of in the US with a guy called Bill Glazer, who was in many ways my kind of... he was almost like a business father figure to me, was Bill, for a number of years. And I found him, was fortunate enough to find him fairly early on in my entrepreneurial journey. And when I used to go across to Baltimore, was where Bill lived, and there were 12 people in our group. Ryan Dice was in there with us. Perry Marshall was part of that group. One or two others that you may know as well. And we were all kind of starting out at the same time, really. And I had huge respect for Bill. I mean, tremendous respect for him. But also respect for the other members in the group. And at the end of our two-day meeting, Bill would go around the table and he would ask us what we were going to get done before the next meeting. And he would make a little note of it in his little black book, and we'd make a little note on the thing. And genuinely, I never ever got on that plane back to America, three months later. I never went back without having done the things that I said I would do. And the thought of turning up in front of these, I guess my peers, as it were, that I respected a lot, and in front of Bill, who I respected a lot, the notion of actually turning up there, not having done the things I said I'd do, was a complete anathema to me. I couldn't even contemplate it, and it definitely played a big part in because that was really the very formative years of my business, when we moved from a startup to a £1 million business, then a £3 million, then a £5 million business in fairly short space of time. And having that accountability played a big part in it. And I know that's what happens now, in the groups that I run, and in particular, because you're very, very good at this. This is a real big strength that Michelle has, is in terms of creating that accountability for business owners to get stuff done, because you need it somewhere. There's very few people on the planet who can remain sufficiently self-motivated and self-accountable over a prolonged period.
And the other thing I would just add there, you have to check in with someone almost face to face. You have to look at someone in the eye and say what you have done. It's very easy to just not do that on a form or on an email.
Yeah, it is.
So we use something called Zoom, which I know
that's Fat Larry's Band.
Oh my goodness.
Do you remember
me?
Fat Larry's Band?
Probably not, Nigel.
I wonder how many cultural references we can get into this podcast that Cameron has no idea what we're talking about.
Okay.
Because we've already had David Coleman that meant nothing to him whatsoever. Because Cameron would rather burn his eyes out than watch sport on telly. And then we've got Fat Larry's Band.
I do know the song. I don't know Fat Larry.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm thinking 83.
Okay.
Could have been 85.
Well, I do like the 80s, though. I do like the 80s.
Wasn't alive.
No. That's good. Okay, so where were we? Right, yes, back to
let's talk
Zoom.
About
Zoom.
Oh,
Zoom.
Yeah, Zoom.
Sorry.
Just what? Well,
yeah. Okay. So Zoom is an amazing.
My heart goes
boom. I'm very sorry about this. Zoom is a fabulous tool, and basically, it's like video conference. It is a step up beyond.
I just had a thought. Right. I've got. Sorry. On productivity.
Yeah.
Right, this is. There's a link to this. Hold your thought on Zoom. This is a live test now. I've no idea whether this is going to work or not. Okay. But I've got an Amazon Echo in my office. It's a long story, because until a couple of weeks ago, I didn't own one of these, and it was my birthday in January, and long story, four people, very generously, bought me an Amazon Echo, so I got four for my birthday. Now, I managed to find a use for three of them at home, but one of them was coming to the office, and I use it in the office. It's really brilliant for reminding me, because at the start of the day, I come in, and I tell Alexa to remind me for all the things that are happening today. I even had a reminder for this podcast. But let's just see if this works. It's a live test. Alexa, play Zoom by Fat Larry's Band. Is this going to work?
Zoom by Fat Larry's Band from Spotify.
Oh, there we go. It's all coming back to you now, isn't it, eh? Fat Larry's Band Zoom. We'll leave that playing in the background while we crack on with the podcast. So, Zoom, Michelle, what were you talking about, Zoom?
So, Zoom, I mean, this is the best morning I've had in a very long time. I'd just like to point out, Nigel, DJ Nigel has just turned the music down. So, yeah, Zoom is a tool, a step up from Skype, which I know some of you may use. But yesterday, I was on the South Coast. I was in Manchester, all using Zoom, and I didn't leave the blooming office.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I thought I got Manchester's not on the South Coast.
Okay, no, I was on the South Coast, and then I was up in Manchester, and I didn't leave the office. Yet, I managed to influence, impact, motivate, and help two of our members. And it was great. And so I think if you have a team of people, maybe that are in the world, maybe in the Philippines, or indeed across the UK, then it's like late night love affair, this, isn't it? On the radio.
We're all swaying. We're swaying.
The lighters are out. Anyway, great tool and really, really cost effective. So if you have people that you need to speak with on a regular basis and they're not necessarily in your location, then you need
Hang on, key change. Oh, it's gone. Listen, I think what we'll do, let's just see if this works then. Alexa, stop. Oh, look at that. Flipping love it. Now, it's a bit of a carnage podcast this morning. Monty coming in? We're just doing the, let me just have a little look out here. We're doing the podcast this morning. Say hi on the podcast, people.
Hello.
No, Monty's not coming. Okay, we're going back to Fat Larry's Band and Zoom. It's a particularly chaotic podcast this morning. Now, let's get back to business. Cameron, we're going to talk about the algorithms.
Oh, wonderful. Love some algorithms. Well, this is the news that came out a couple weeks ago now, I guess from when you're listening to this.
About just to be clear, algorithms have got nothing to do with logarithms. Do you remember logarithms?
I think I do.
Oh, my math teacher, Mr. Bentley, his name was. And we had the little orange book.
Yes.
With, I don't know, I can't remember what they did. But I do remember, I seem to remember I was quite good at logarithms. But right now, I can't remember what one is. Okay. Other than there were little kind of four or five digit numbers to decimal places. No. And it helps you do advanced maths. David Coleman used it. And it was a key part of the production on Fat Larry's Band Zoom.
Back to algorithms.
Anyhow, so algorithms have got nothing to do with logarithms.
No.
Okay, go, Cameron. Which algorithm are you talking about?
The Facebook newsfeed algorithm, of course.
Oh, of course.
God. So Facebook made the announcement a few weeks ago now, that they are going to change how the newsfeed decides what to show people when they're on Facebook.
Okay.
And basically what they're doing is that pages and businesses are going to get a lot less reach, a lot less visibility now than people's friends and family.
Yeah.
So it means that if you have a page on Facebook and you write a post on that page, if you had, say, 1,000 people who liked and followed your page, probably like 10 would see it.
It is really tiny, isn't it? I mean, the people, or some people, mistakenly think that your Facebook newsfeed is like a timeline, but it hasn't been a timeline for many, many years now. Facebook use their algorithm to decide what you see, and typically you will see, well, not typically, you will see more stuff from people whose posts and things you interact with. So you might have noticed that typically when you, if you post a picture or even a comment on your own newsfeed, it will typically be the same people that will like it first, you know, and you'll think, oh, they're the good people. That's because they're seeing it high up their newsfeed, and people that don't engage, you disappear down the bottom if you appear at all. And for businesses, this is really important, because it isn't the case that when you post something on your business page that everyone who has liked your page sees it, because if they haven't engaged with you recently and commented or liked or replied or, you know, to a post that you've put up, then the likelihood is already now that you will not appear anywhere near the top of their newsfeed, if on it at all. And going forward, the policy statement that Facebook made in early January is that what they are effectively doing is, and Zuckerberg is dressing it up, he may be sincere, I shouldn't be too cynical at this point, but what he's saying is that the fact they recognise that their role is to strengthen and support relationships and bring people together, and therefore they are prioritising comments and posts and content from people, your friends and your family, and they are deprioritising the post that businesses and organisations make. Yeah. Now, the sceptic in me would say, what a smart move on behalf of Zuckerberg and co, because what they're doing here is they are forcing businesses to have to pay to access the Facebook audience, because whilst they are, this is happening to the news feed and your presence and visibility of stuff that you put on Facebook in people's news feeds is diminishing, their advertising platform continues to get more sophisticated, way more effective, you know, and they are now the owners of, by quite some margin, the most powerful marketing tool available to any business.
Yeah, I mean, organic reach for pages was about 2% before these changes.
Yeah.
So now it's like 0.something. So really, if you're posting stuff to your page and not putting some money behind it, then really no one is going to see it. And the way that you should think about it is, everyone has a certain number of slots on their newsfeed, and Facebook has so much content out there now.
Do you know how many it is?
No.
Huh.
I don't think there is an exact number.
There's not a number?
No.
Okay.
But they have a certain number of slots, and Facebook has so much content, and people like so many different pages and have so many friends.
I wonder if Mark Zuckerberg is a fan of Lena Lovitch. Do you remember Lena Lovitch?
Was I alive?
No.
No.
No. Do you remember Lena Lovitch?
No, Nigel.
Lena Lovitch, My Lucky Number.
Wow.
Yeah. Alexa, play Lena Lovitch, My Lucky Number. We'll see. Who knows what will happen? Oh dear, she cannot find it.
Oh, it's so old.
such an obscure reference. What I can promise you, though, is that two of our three listeners will be thinking, oh, Nigel, I remember Lena Lovitch, My Lucky Numbers One. Anyhow, you did once go down to the bottom. You did manage to get to the bottom of your newsfeed, didn't
you? Oh, yeah. If you keep scrolling, you will get there and it'll say, sorry, no more posts to show.
How long does it take?
Time. Well, it took me a long time. I don't recommend it. It's a waste of time, really.
You're on a very long train journey, Cameron.
It's just scrolling down. But if you think that everyone's got a certain number of slots, and then you think if they've got a certain number of friends that they're engaging with, those guys are going to get the slots at the top there. Pages that they really interact with, if they're in groups, that kind of stuff, then they're going to get slots in there. And so if someone isn't used to liking or commenting on your posts, then your stuff's going to end up way down the bottom or not even in there at all. And the problem you've got as businesses is that it's kind of this vicious circle now, because if you post something and someone doesn't like it or comment on it, then the next time you post something, your post's going to move down their newsfeed and they're going to be less likely to see it, so they're less likely to engage with it, and again and again and again. So actually, if you're posting lots of stuff that's getting very little engagement, then you're actually doing yourself quite a lot of harm, because Facebook's now thinking your page is not really relevant to people, so it's going to stop showing it to most of the
and
people
who are
interested.
And some of our members will be paying people to do that. They will be paying people to actually post stuff on their Facebook
that's
pages.
That's not getting engaged
that's
with.
That's not getting engaged with, yeah. That's not relevant. It isn't getting any, you know, interaction. So it may be time to think about changing how you run your pages, or indeed where you spend that investment.
And that gets, which just brings me back really, because across the time, is it all gone?
We've had so much fun.
It's just zoomed by.
Zoomed on by.
But hang on, what was that? Sorry.
What a mess of a podcast.
The well, I might not be inviting you on again anytime soon. The your contributions just paled this afternoon this morning. Don't lose my thought here. This is about, like, Michelle's point that people are paying people to write stuff, to post on their Facebook pages that nobody engages with, that nobody sees, and that actually diminishes the presence and visibility of your page over the medium term. Because that's what happens if no one is in, if you're not getting the comments and the likes, that is what's happening. And you're paying for that. And that brings us back into where we started. We're going to almost square the circle, because we were talking about productivity at the beginning.
Yep.
And this little notion that I'm going to talk about actually at the national event in February. We're recording this a couple of weeks before the February national event. And I'm going to talk about what we call binary thinking. And now, again, back to maths and logarithms from Mr. Bentley. Because he did, I remember, I don't know much about binary, but at the end of the day, it's zeros and ones. It's black and white. There's only two possible alternatives in binary thinking. And in your business, that is absolutely the case. Because what you are doing and spending your time on, or your money on, is either growing your business or not. And that level of binary thinking can be really helpful. And sometimes, and the example we've given there on the Facebook stuff, on the posting to your page, you might think is moving your business forward, but actually, if you just spend a few minutes peeling away the layers and looking at what's actually happening and paying attention to what's there, you can find that it's not. And the key, and it's a bit oversimplistic, but my goodness, it's true, the key to moving your business and your life towards where you want it to be is binary thinking. And it's doing more of the stuff that moves you forward, and it's eradicating and stopping and doing a lot less of the things that are not doing that. Noughts and ones, black and white. And that example on Facebook is a negative. And whereas the Facebook ads can be a positive, but at least you know really quickly, because when you've been working through, because there's been some tremendous stuff happening on Facebook ads. Some of the lead volumes and some of the stories that are coming out now already out of lead cycle are just tremendous, Cameron.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are ridiculous. We've had people who've had, you know, almost 1,000 leads in their first month, at a cost of like 26 pence a lead, which is unheard of for a lot of businesses out there. But I mean, we've had people who, Gavin Page, for example.
Gavin's a printer.
A printer who, I think it was one of the leads he got on his first day, signed a massive 5-figure contract with him like just a few days later. So, I mean, it just goes to show that there's stuff out there that, I mean, posting on Gavin's Facebook page would have never even got close to that kind of.
But what Gavin did, he took an opportunity, he ran with it, he took a risk, and the risk paid off. He went out there with the right lead magnet, with the right offer, with the right bait that actually got people interested in his business, which would never have happened. It might have done, but he'd have had to have gone a long way round to get it. But he did what was right. He took a step to grow his business. And the decision, you know, I'm sure will repeat itself and repeat itself and repeat itself.
Oh, talking of which, that breakfast was nice. Now, we're out of time on the podcast. It has just zoomed by. I'm really sad that we missed Lena Lovitch. I'm going to get Rob to stick a little snippet of Lena Lovitch on the very end of the podcast as a little reward for listening. I'll be back next month. Goodness knows who's with. Probably won't be these two. But Michelle, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Cameron, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
And a little burst of the Lion King just to go out with?
Nah.
No, okay. All right. Have a good month, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the podcast from the Entrepreneurs Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell.